Right, the next three psukim in Mishlei Perek Dalid, psukim Yud to Yud Beis, Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis, are again very generic, and the Goyin tries to make them more precise and more specific in terms of what they're zeroing in terms of Torah mitzvahs and Avodas Hashem, Yerushalayim, and the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Tov, which is basically the whole theme of all of Mishlei. Shma b'ni v'kach amoroi. So the Goyin right away says on the word Shma b'ni, which is found a number of times, that b'ni is referring to a Talmud, and Shma b'ni is indicating that everybody has to have a Rebbe. We spoke about this many, many times. So Shma b'ni v'kach amoroi, v'yirbu l'chosh nois chayim. If you take my words, then the result, the reward and the result, and I say this decidedly, that these are two separate inyonim. V'yirbu l'cha, another pasuk says, v'yosifu l'cha shnois chayim. Shnois chayim, years of life. Anybody who has years of life. So the teretz is that we're talking about a different concept. We're not talking just about biological years. We're speaking about years that are full of life. So v'kach amarai v'yirbu l'cha shnois chayim. So even in the lifetime that a person has genetically, even if a single day isn't added, but kacha morai is goreim that the shnois chayim will be improved, and the years will be years of chayim. B'derech chochma hayreisicha hidrachticha b'magale yoshev. So he says to him, I taught you. And notice an interesting thing, that this is past tense. Now when you look at the first pasuk, Shema b'ni, whenever someone is telling you Shema, is it Torah that already was or Torah that's going to be? Of course, Shema b'ni means sit down and start to listen. And I'm going to tell you. So Shema b'ni v'kacha moroi is in the future. B'dera chochma hayreisicha is in the past. What's the pshat? I like to ask these kind of questions because they're pregnant with all kinds of possibilities, but you have to notice it. You have to notice these things. Shema b'ni is about to be, but there are chokhma yreisicha yidrachticha b'magle yosha. So the teretz, I think the first teretz and the first thing that should come to mind is that learning is a constant process where yesterday feeds the today. A person is never starting from scratch. And I think that we learned in how far does that go? We already learned that the Gemara in Maseches Nida that we went through Be'iyun, that the baby is given the Torah and the baby is given the Shvua. This is all something that starts in the womb. It starts with the Neshama itself. And already the child has, you might say, a Hadrocha that's built into him. I want to make a point, and this is something that I didn't mention then. There's all kinds of discussions about language in the secular sense, in the secular orientation, that people are built with genetic propensities towards language and language structure. It isn't pshat that you start with zero, and somehow or other, the child begins to learn from scratch how to speak Chinese, or how to speak an African language, or how to speak Lashon Kodesh. It doesn't work like that. There are certain built-in genetic propensities towards language structure and language concepts in their most basic forms. And that is a skill that is built into the person in the same way that the ability to walk is built into the person. There is, but you have to start and learn on top of that structure. And they prove it in all kinds of ways which are not negeah to us. One of the pioneers of this, a fellow by the name of Noam Chomsky, who otherwise is an Eisvavshib of Eisvavs, but as far as this is concerned, this was his secular whatever. Now, Lahavdil Elef Havdolos, as they always say, and it is Lahavdil Elef Havdolos, the neshama of a person, when it's put in together with the guf, has certain propensities. When we speak about the Yetzer Hara, it's obvious that when we speak about the Koyach HaTavoni and the Koyach HaKasoni, this is something that is fundamental to human nature. to such an extent that sometimes when you try to be Shaver, that Yetzer, you're basically trying to transform yourself. Now, everybody knows that an addict has the hardest time in the world because his wiring has been changed because of the addiction. That's the emes. The source of pleasure and the sense of pleasure, which is critical to human nature, has been transformed. And that's why a person can't stop smoking. You can tell a person black on white, you can show a person photographs, x-rays of the chest of a person that's sick nebuch because he was smoking. And it consciously, logically penetrates, and you'd expect that the next day in Me'ayoyim V'hola, a person, Mi'o Isha Chafetz Chaim, everybody wants to live, it'll be cold turkey. And the emesis is it's not like that. It takes tremendous, tremendous koichas hanefesh to fight the Yetzer Hara, the same thing, because it's built into our basic nature. But the Yetzer Tov is also built in. And that's part of the idea, I believe, of taking a shvua. A shvua means that there's this overarching commitment to something that is inherent in our nature. And I believe that the simchas hachayim of a person can only be if he is consistent with that essential nature of that shvua and that commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the neshama takes. Everything else, whether we like it or not, even the biggest rasha, lemaisa, he's a stira mineyubei. Elokim asa es ha'adam yasha. And that asa es ha'adam yasha is constantly yearning for that yashrus and constantly pining to be realized. And when it doesn't happen, and that when we speak about a sense of guilt, I think there are two concepts of guilt. There's a guilt of you know, la'ela, and there's a guilt la'sata. The guilt la'ela is the neshama screaming that it finds no makom for itself. And that's a very special sense of guilt, which I think saves a person very often from doing something that otherwise his taiva insists upon. And then there's another sense of guilt, which is more logical and more down to earth. I failed. People don't like to fail. People don't like to be contradictions to what they believe in. But there's a much deeper and more recessed and more subconscious sense of guilt that's constantly striving and yearning to be fulfilled, that the emes of the neshama and the agenda of the neshama should not be co-opted, should not be undermined. So when we speak about b'derech chochmah reisicha, the first and foremost thing is that basically there's a constant stream of hadracha that the neshama gives the person from the day one. And that is the foundation or the background for Shema B'ni. And that's why Chazal and even the Bnei Yisoscha that we learned all of this, the Torah is already ours, we just have to relearn it. It's a different concept than learning from scratch. So he says here, the Bir Hagra, Shema B'ni, Shemitchilo Tzorich Lishmoya Meirav, V'kach Amorai, Achar Kach Tikach Amorai Loch, V'tachzor Oysam. He learns that the kach amorai is a din of kinyon, like kilekach toiv. And he says the next thing, talks about mitzvahs, chacham lev yikach mitzvahs. But the first thing he says is also kilekach toiv. Lekach is a mekach. Mekach is a kinyon. It means, in other words, that the process of learning Torah, and this is a very fundamental concept, you take from the Rebbe, but you have to make it yours. Ultimately, when you look at the Birchas HaTorah, who is the Rebbe? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's his Torah. But when you learn the Torah becomes yours. But it's not pshat that it becomes yours because you learned it. You make it become yours. It's a kinyan in Torah that you have to make it. We speak about kinyonei HaTorah. We don't just speak about limud HaTorah. HaTorah niknes b'mem ches dvarim. And interestingly enough, when we speak about kinyonei HaTorah, we are not speaking simply about tricks of how to assimilate information. You know, they have Eitzes, how to remember things, Eitzes, how to understand things, Eitzes, if a person has certain disabilities, how to overcome those disabilities. People with dyslexia, they try to show how you can get to that person because he can't see things the way everybody else sees them. So all of this are tools in the actual technical learning. Open up the Braisa, which is called Braisa of Kinyan HaTorah, that's what it's actually called, Mishnas Chachamim, Shonu Chachamim L'shon, that the Torah is greater than Kuna and Malchus, the Torah is Niknes B'mem Ches Dvarim. Now, something always bothered me. I have many other questions. For example, how can you say the Kahuna is Niknes? Or the Malchus is Niknes? Malchus is because he's the son of the king. Shloim is the son of David. That's how he became Melech. Or Hashem chose him to be Melech, like David himself. But what do you mean Niknes? And then what are the 30 things that Malchus is Niknes? Or the 24 things that Kahuna is Niknes? You're born a Kayin. I'm not going into that question. But I have another question. It says that the Torah is Niknes B'mem Ches Dvarim. The 48 things that the Torah is Niknes. So you have an interesting question over here. What do you mean that the Torah is Niknes? You learn Torah, and that's how you acquire Torah. You look at the list, and you see that the list has things that seem to have nothing whatsoever to do with learning. Half of them are Midos Tovos. So you see an amazing thing. Now, one could suggest that the Kinyan HaTorah that we're talking about, that acquisition of Torah, requires a certain kind of personality for the learning itself. The very best example that I always point out over and over again, Rav Aaron Kotler's Torah, why were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva wiped out? Mipnei sheloi nohagu kovet zebozeh. The Mefarshim struggle with this, by the way. If I'm not mistaken, it's the Marsha, Neseches Yevamos, Nechidush HaGadus. But one of the Gedolim, he explains, because Torah is Torah's Chayim, and by not properly giving Kavod, Torah's Kavod, ain't Kavod Ela Torah, you're not giving proper Kavod, takes away the Chayim. He struggles with it. A punishment is Midah Keneged Midah. A punishment is something that has to fit. It seems to be very severe. All right. So give them a patch. Not only that. What are you doing to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, you know that whole Gemara, you know where that Gemara, what's the Gemara doing? What is that whole story doing in Maseches Yevamos? Do you know? The Gemara starts out as follows. Person, hayu loy bonim b'ziknusai. The whole sugya is talking about period of Arivia. That's where it starts. The famous machloikas between Beisham and Beis Hillel. What do you need to be Mekayim period of Arivia? And that's the Mishnah over there. And from the Mishnah becomes a ganza sugya about getting married. That's the famous Gemara. Shari b'lai Isha, Shari b'lai Torah, b'lai Chochma, b'lai whatever. I even have one of these things in the footnote over here, Grada. That's the whole Gemara. And that Gemara, it says, Hayuloi bonim b'ziknu b'narusai, person should not rest on his laurels and assume. And the pasuk says, "Sheini yadei is a yichsha zeh zeh shneim keachot tayvim." So baboyk is ra zaracha v'lo erev al tanach yadecha. So the Gemara says, and so too, just like by children in the physical, biological sense, talmidim also. Hayuloi talmidim b'ziknu b'narusai, yiloi talmidim b'ziknusai. And then they bring the mice of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva had so many Talmidim, and in the end, Biziknuso, he had the five Talmidim, the Zekanim Shebedar. So that's where the Gemara comes from. So the Gemara is telling me that Rabbi Akiva spent a lifetime of struggling to achieve for himself the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu says, wow, unbelievable. And then after that, he has so many thousands of Talmidim, and it's all gone. Imagine. One of the Sfarim, I believe, says, what is this whole inyan of Lag Ba'omer? That Lag Ba'omer was the time that the Torah was mischadish in the world, and that Rabbi Akiva taught, the found and taught the five Talmidim that the Torah came back to Klal Yisrael with. So they ask the question, but Lag BaOmer was when they stopped dying. Between that and finding the Talmidim was a certain merchak of time. So why does it start with Lag? What's Lag BaOmer? So they say that if Rabbi Akiva could pull together the pieces and still have hope, that after all of this, he didn't disintegrate completely, it's an unbelievable maton of Hashem, an unbelievable siyata d'shmaya, that he wasn't misyayish, and that's what Lag BaOmer represents. But be that as it may, what is he doing to Rabbi Akiva? His whole lifetime of effort and work wiped out in a short period of time between Pesach and Atzeres. For what? That's why you punish Rabbi Akiva like that? And every single one of them has to go. So Rav Aaron Kotler essentially says the following. The Masaira has to go from the Gadol Hador to his Talmidim, and then it goes to the next generation. If anything happens that corrupts that Masaira, so if it's Tama Rebbe teaching a Talmud and he's irrelevant to the Masaira, it's a very localized problem. But if Chas V'Sholem is going to be a corruption in the essential Masaira itself, because he is the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, and his Talmidim, whoever they are taking over his Masaira, if that's not a perfect Masaira, a legitimate Masaira, then a warped and corrupted Masaira goes to the next generation, and from then on, forever. In order to prevent that from happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take them out, as they say in the slang. And that's Mesu B'Perek Echad. And therefore, the Loi Nagu Kovid Zebazeh has to be understood. It's not the Aveira of Loi Nagu Kovid. It's the corruption that results from Loi Nagu Kovid. Why is there a corruption in Torah of Loi Nagu Kovid Zebazeh? What is Ma Inyon Zelazeh? So if you look at the Memches Dvarim Shatayra Niknes, you understand. Because in those Kinyonei HaTayra, there are Midos and Midos and Midos. And part of those Midos require Nohaku Kavod Zebazeh. And as I always say, that's the difference between Dibru and Nidbru. I say it over and over again. Nidbru means I need you as a Chavrusa because I want to hear what you say, and more important is your criticism of what I said, rather than your yes, Chanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan lost Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was Nifter, and he had another Chavrusa, and he complained bitterly. When I used to say something, Rish Lakish used to fight with me tooth and nail. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And now I have this Chavrusa. He says, you're right. That's it. So now, if you have a concept of Loi Nohagu Kovid Zebazeh, and you understand it in these terms, you're missing essential components of Kinyonei HaTorah. And that is impossible to continue to the next generation, because such a Torah is inevitably corrupt. It's a remarkable thing. Therefore, they had to be eliminated. In this idea of B'derech Chochma HaReisicha Hidrachticha B'Magle Yosher, the Kinyan of Torah requires a whole array of personality qualities, not just learning qualities. Kinyan doesn't just mean the tools of the trade. It means the nature of the person as well. So that's kach, that you need a kinyan ha-Torah, and that's where we speak about kinyanei Torah. These are, it's a very profound idea here. By the way, it's not even parenthetic, it's one point. In Yiddishkeit, there's a tremendous struggle when you see a person that's not beseder, doesn't have the right hashkofas, doesn't have the right personality, and he's teaching Torah. The whole inyan of Acher, the Gemara is struggling with how does Reb Meir learn from Acher, Elisha ben Abuya. Toichai Ochal, Kliposai Zorak, all the Mepharshim say that that's only a person on a very high Madrega who's able to distinguish and discern, and that's not for an average person. Our whole notion is that the person who teaches Torah has to reflect the Torah that he teaches. And the same is true of everybody that's any kind of Meir Derech. He has to be authentic. Toichoi kebari. In the world, it's mamish punkt verkehrt. It's Neira V'Oyim. What you accomplish, what you do, the song that you sing could come from the most fadarbana person in the world. A Rasha Marusha, even L'shitasam, an Afal PK. So it's a Chichs Neira V'Oyim. That the Teretz is, because there's a tremendous dichotomy between skills and talents and technical accomplishments and achievements, production of entertainment of any kind, and the person who's making that production happen. Ma inyan shmita etzel hasinai deitaina. In the same way that the person who makes the Model T Ford can be the biggest anti-Semite and the biggest Russia, but it doesn't matter. The Model T Ford concept swept the world, and the whole notion of mass production, and changed all of technology in its time. La'olam vod. So they kind of, you see, one thing has nothing to do with the other. And that he gave to the world is a gift. This sense of personal corruption not interfering with the accomplishment and the achievement applies to a painting, applies to a piece of music. It doesn't make the slightest difference. You know, whether Brahms was a nice guy, he was a nice guy. And then some of them were mamish, the biggest ice fuffs. Nasty, petty, miserable people. Satnish sata. Zebuchai v'zebuchai in his personality, that's good for autobiographies or biographies. Oh, but the achievement in music, that has nothing to do with anything. You can be the biggest Rasha, and you could be the biggest ice fuff, and you could be the biggest Reitzeach, but your music. And the same is true of everything in that world. Our world is completely the opposite. Because if the Torah is what the world was created with, and if the idea of Torah is the fundamental kesher that a person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it has to be authentic, and therefore it is only the tzaddikim and the chassidim and the yesharim and the tamim. And that's why when we speak about kinyonei HaTorah, we have to speak about midos, because otherwise it's not just the corruption of the Torah, it's that the vehicle of transmitting the Torah is not accepted. It's just unacceptable. And our whole idea, therefore, of learning Torah finds its place in Sefer Mishlei together with Midos Tovos, and in Pirkei Avos constantly together with Midos Tovos. There's a huge amount about Limud HaTorah in Pirkei Avos. And side by side, always, there's a question of midos. Sheli shalach, v'shalach shalach. What does that have to do with Torah? Everything has to do with Torah. But it's much more than that. Because the vehicle that conveys the Torah, learns and acquires the Torah, has to be a person that's able to say, Sheli shalach, v'shalach shalach. Let's go back now to the Bi'ur Agra. The Bi'ur Agra says, V'yir b'lucha shnois chayim. The Torah has an unbelievable koyach. I want you to know that they asked, somebody came to the Mezritcha Magid, famous story, and he sits and sits there, and then the Mezritcha Magid finally comes over and asks him, "What are you doing here? Who are you?" He says, somebody told me that the midah of bitachon and kabbalas yisurim ba'ava, this is a midah that I can learn by the Mezritcha Magid. He says, you're right. You see that person over there? And he pointed to the Rebbe Reb Zisha. And he said, you sit near him and watch him and follow him and you will learn this midah. So the Rebbe Reb Zisha notices him after a point and he says, also, who are you? He said, the Rebbe said that I should sit next to you. He says, I'm very surprised. Person is mekabel yisurim ba'ava, he has to have yisurim. A person has bitachon because it's felt the mepes. So he has to have bitachon. I have Baruch Hashem everything. Of course, that's what he wanted him to see. There's a certain capacity for emissi yira shamayim that a person becomes actually inured. He becomes resistant to agmas nefesh and to the sense of shiflus and yiyush and all of the negative traits that a person has when he's in a depression. Torah I'm not talking about medical or clinical depression right now. It might have to do with the wiring of the brain too, that something went wrong, something got damaged. But people have their moments of chalishus hadas and they're totally healthy. The Torah does not really allow that. And that's an incredible thing, because it would have seemed to me that it's the exact opposite. You know what I always say over in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the Chafetz Chaim quotes? And the Chafetz Chaim says that famous maisa, that moshal about the person who was given by the king the right to go into the field of battle after he wins the war and take whatever spoils of war as a gift. And that was the incentive that he gave him to win the battle, and he won the battle, and he takes all of his suitcases and all of his bags and whatever he could, containers that he had, and he went in, and he started collecting, and in the morning he was euphorious. I mean, he was felt by Mamashi, he's going to become the richest person in the world. And he did. But in the end, he looks at the field, and it's already sunset, the day is over, and that's it. One day he has, no more. And there's so much more in the battlefield left to be taken that he has to abandon. And he feels terrible. And one would suspect, and that's what he said, that Sosa Noichi Al Imrasecha, it's an amazing thing to say, Simcha Sheyesh Achareha Tuga. Simcha that has a certain amount of disappointment at the end. A certain amount of unfinished business that a person has a nostalgia for, a yearning for, maybe even a certain little bit of a depression. But there's so much left to learn. There's so much left to know. And I cannot encompass it. So if that's the case, how could you suggest that when that's mahapik the raw to taiva, it would seem that the taiva itself brings to you a certain sense of despair? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I give you a choice. You can remain poor, or you could become the richest person on earth, but there's plenty more riches that you'll never arrive at. The fact that we can connect to the infinite is the source of the unlimited and unmitigated joy. And when a person doesn't feel that joy, there's something missing that he has to examine. It's like if you don't have a certain vitamin, so they'll test you by figuring out what exactly is wrong. So if a person has certain marks or a person has certain conditions, they can tell you right away, you're missing vitamin E, you're missing vitamin A, you're missing vitamin B. He has beriberi and rickets and this and that or whatever. You know he's missing vitamin C. So if you know what you're missing, you'll understand that if you fix that. But Torah L'maisa brings tremendous joy. And emuna and bitachon are the nachla of people in their avodas Hashem to be zoiche, to be mahapich any raw into a toivah. And the people who are ma'ost ma'ushar, etz chayim hi l'machzikim ba v'samcheh ma'ushar, these are the people that cling to the Torah. When you don't see that, it's a siman that there's something missing. But in principle, the yesod ha'davar is that. And that's what he says, that yosifu l'cha v'yirbu l'cha shnois chayim. Now, I wanted to go to the Bir Hagra on Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis says, Belechtecha lo yetzar tza'adecha v'im torutz lo yisika shel. When you go, it says, v'im chukoysay teleichu. There's an inyan of walking that's always described. Derech, lo leches, v'halachta. Belechtecha lo yetzar tza'adecha. Your steps will not be confined. They won't be narrowed. They won't struggle. V'im tarutz, and if you run, which is more than lechtecha, lechtecha is walking, tarutz is running. Loisi kashel, you will not stumble, you will not falter. So, belechtecha lo yetzar tzadecha, v'im tarutz loisi kashel. It's perfect pasuk, obviously, for the Vilna Gaon to come in and explain the use of this language. When is it belechtecha? When is it imtarutz? What does it mean lo yetzar tzadecha? Zok de gru. Ki ha'hoylech bedarchei Hashem tzorich beis dvarim. Aleph leilech bepesach tzar v'koton u'b'yisurim ad sheyovoy al derech ha'yoshem. Until now we've said that it turns the raw into a toiva. The Vilna Gaon says, you know what? It says in the pasuk, lo yetzar tzadecha. He says, you know why? Because the derech itself is a derech of Yisurim. it's a requirement. When it says v'chaye tzar tichya uvatoyra ata omel, v'chaye tzar tichya does not mean the concept of tzar, superficial tzar that we have today. Today, if you have to go two extra blocks for something, you're already b'tzar. Chaye tzar tichya means chaye tzar tichya. In this context, you'd imagine chaye tzar tichya means even if it's chaye tzar. No, it's a requirement. V'chaye tzar tichya. That's what the Goyin says here. Ki ha'holich b'darch Hashem tzorich beis dvorim. Aleph leilach b'pesach tzar v'koton ad sheyovo yol derech ha'yosha. So he says, ubi yisurim. Where do these yisurim come from, and what kind of yisurim is he talking about? He's talking about sickness? He's talking about physical pain? What exactly are these yisurim? So he quotes a Gemara. The Gemara, of course, is about the different oisiyos and how you write the oisiyos of the Torah or of Tefillin, and it's a Gemara in Menachos Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis. Umipnei ma nivro ha'olam hazeh behei, eile tolo shamayim va'oretz behi bara'am. There's a hey there, behi bara'am, not bibara'am. And Chazal say, behei bira'am. In other words, he created the world with the os hey. Whatever it means in the esoterics, the Gemara is asking the question in the Pshutai, what does it mean that the world was created with the letter hey? So Chazal tell us in this Gemara Menachos Chof Tes Amid Beis that the letter hey is a picture. It's a pictogram. It tells me a Musa Shmuz in its tzura. And what is that Musa Shmuz? So it says, Mipnei Shedoy Melach Sadra Shekol Haroitze Lotzeis Yeitze. The world is like a portico. You know very well that a portico, like the chuppah of Chosen Kala, has a roof and it has columns, but there are no walls. And there's no need to find the door to exit, because any direction you go, you're out of the portico. You suddenly find yourself on the other side of the portico. That is the world. The world was created in such a way that to stay in the straight and narrow is an extremely difficult thing, because the possibility of having walls that confine you and limit your ability to lose yourself and to get into the net of the Yetzer Hara, those walls do not exist. I pointed out in the footnote a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, in that very same Gemara Maseches Yevamos that we were talking about earlier, Shori b'lo isha, shori b'lo choma. Whoever is without a wife is without a wall, a fortress. So the Mefarshim explain, what does it mean that is without a fortress? And they quote the pasuk in the Gemara, by the way, from Yirmiyahu, unekeva tesovev gover. The pasuk Parshat Pshat is talking about la'asid lavo. This nekeva tesovev gover idea in Kabbalah and in the Sifre Chasidus is used over and over and over again to describe our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that use it l'gabi osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu latsas mochel et tzadikim, and on and on and on. But in the Pshuta, in the Keva Tesoviv Gover, is an anomaly. It's actually the other way around. What do we say in the Gemara Maseches Kedushin at the beginning? Darko shel ish lachazor achar isha, ve'ein darko shel isha lachazor achar ish. So who's chasing after whom? In this pasuk, it is the wife, Nekeva Tesoviv Gover. So Enoch Anami, the Mefarshim explain, that this pasuk in Yirmiyahu is talking about La'asid Lavo, in a Bria Chadosha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create, when Taiva is not going to govern the nature of a person, and the Melech won't be Darker Shalish Lachzor, because it is his Taiva, but rather the principle of it, and it'll be Nekeva Tesoviv Gover. There's a Yalkut Shimoni, which I didn't bring down, but there's a very beautiful Yalkut Shimoni on that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the Yalkut brings a Medrash. The Medrash says that Bizman Hazeh, if a person on Shabbos is about to pluck an apple from the tree, do the Aveira of Kitzira, Kaitzer, Toilish, is anybody going to stop him? But Lo Asid Lavo, when he's about to do that, the tree will scream out, the apple will scream out, Shabbos Hayom. That's the idea of Nekeva to Soiviv Gover. So the Gemara says that if you're without a wife, you're without a wall, a fortress of protection, because the Pasuk says Nekeva to Soiviv Gover. By the way, that is why the image of the chuppah and the minig that many, not everybody, Sfaradim don't have it, I think Yekets even don't have it. But there are many who go around, some go around three, some go around seven. I remember once the Masada Kedushin is supposed to keep an eye on it. He must have gotten fatracht in a sugya. And after about 25 times, somebody pointed out to him, you know, it's enough already. it's hard to keep the count, believe it or not. You get confused with that long gown, you know. The fact of the matter is that that's what she's doing. You know what she's doing? She's making, people think that she's breaking down the walls. They make litzanas, the walls of Yericho, seven times. You're knocking down all the barriers, you know, you're making them closer. This is all nonsense. The point is that you're building walls. It's very interesting. I always felt that there's two kinds of chuppas. Not felt, that's a fact. There's a chuppah that is open to the public, and you want people to be there. It's very interesting. There's an inyan of ayikach boyaz asara anoshim. You want, the asara became, you know, 500, 600, but that's the idea. The idea is that there has to be a tzibur. And the truth of the matter is they even made a takana, you're not allowed to elope. That's why we say that what happened with Rachel and Rabbi Akiva is the most astonishing thing at all. Most unbelievable maisa. They eloped against the wishes of their parents. There's a takana, you're not allowed to get married in private, and you're not allowed to get married against the wishes of your parents. So in this inyan of the chuppah, there is a public quality that's part of the minhag. And because of that, you have to be able to see chazan kala. You have to see the Kedushin taking place. When you see the Kedushin taking place, when you see that happen, you are obviously in a room without walls. The Chas and Kala have to be in a room without walls if they're visible. What is the room without walls? That is our chuppah. And by the way, when I say that very decidedly. Who says it's a room? The whole concept of chuppah, you have to understand what it is. Kedushin and Nisuin are two separate inyanim. Kiddushin is a formal kinyan. And the relationship that's achieved makes her an Eishes Ish. Don't get me wrong. And that's called Erisin. But in the time of the Gemara, if you want to make clear the difference between Erisin and Nisuin, between Kiddushin equals Erisin and Nisuin, you will know that right after the Kiddushin, and maybe upwards to a year, she went back to her father's home. She went home. And he did the same. And they prepared for the life together by building a house and then by providing a trousseau or whatever it is that they had to do from scratch. Today you go into a store. Today everything is collapsed into one moment. That's why they read the ksuba in between to separate the two elements. But it's so remarkable because we should have expected you do the kedushin in the chasen simmer and then you come into the chuppah because the chuppah represents the nisuin. And we have the chuppah. Even before the Maisa Kedushin, he's already under the chuppah, which is remarkable and has all kinds of pshatim and remozim. Even the bracha, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah V'Kedushin. So people ask, wait a minute, it's the other way around. It's Ayidei Kedushin V'Chuppah. And there's all kinds of terutz into that. But be that as it may, when you are in that room, and there's a minig also that the chosn goes down a few steps, and he takes the kala in, and the chosn always comes first. You know why? Because he identifies that it's the chosn's house. And in fact, there are some who are nayeg that they acquire, the chosn acquires the makom with a schirus for that moment by giving a dollar to the person who owns the place or to the person who rented the place for them. This is his makom. It's his house, symbolically. And the house, he brings the wife into his house. That's nisun. Now, how do you bring a wife into a house that has no walls? So she makes the walls. It's an amazing idea. She goes around and around like she's spinning a cocoon. And these walls are invisible, Rabbi said. And it's very remarkable. Avram Avinu had a house that had four doors wide open. And Sarah is Einot Sarah Be'archim. Now everybody knows that Avram and Sarah were They were a team. Avraham Megayeres HaAnoshim, Sarah Megayeres HaAnoshim. What happened in Achnasas Sarfim? The Teretz says, because when you're building a cocoon, when you're putting walls around, the walls have to be a fortress. And the hashpah of the street is the wife's responsibility to keep out. An amazing idea. Shunamis, I always point out, not only did she have no problem, as they say, this man has said, no problem. Not only did she have no problem bringing Elisha into the house, but she was the idea maker, and she was the one who told him to make even a greater connection, a more relevant presence by providing for him a mita and a kise and a shulchan and a menorah. It's not just a meal now. It's talking about you're staying in my house. And who's the one who's inspiring all of this? The answer is, of course, the Shunamis. So what do you mean, Isha ayin atzara baruchem? The Teretz says it depends who you're talking about. The Navi, the Gadol Hador, the one who brings Kedusha and Yerushalayim into my home, I am the one who's insisting upon it. A Yishma'eli, a Gonish, a Bedouin Arab? What's it does? That's Avodah Zarah. Rachatzu Raglecha v'Yishanu Tachasayitz. Yichtafim Nishtobim. Don't give him Silas, he'll come back again. So that's the Machloikis here. Achnasas Arachim is a Midah that's extreme, because Avram is Midah Sachesed. But she says, no, I'm building Mechitzas. But that's the idea under the Chuppah. And the notion here of Nekeva to Soyvev Gover is exactly Isha Misham Rasei Minachet, like the Marsha says. What's a Lomer? She Ishtu Misham Rasei Minachet U'melchemes Yetzarash U'nikra Sainacha. Shenema Imroev Sainacha. K'moi HaChoyma She'soyveves Ha'ir V'shameres Min HaSainim. So when it says Shori B'loi Choyma, that's exactly what we're doing. And there's another Chuppah, which is the exact opposite. It's so closed off that you have to make sure there's no exits, and two Edom are standing outside, and the door is locked, and there's never anybody else there. A very remarkable thing, two chuppas. One is called the chuppah, the other is called the yichud room. But these are really two houses, and the balancing of the private and the public in a home, and who you let in, who you let out, and when it has to be just the two of you, is a remarkable image. It really is. It's very beautiful. So this idea that we're starting with, we'll continue Bezos Hashem next time. But the Pesach Tzar V'Kotn is a Gemara Menachas. The world is doimed to an Achsadra. It is like the Chuppah, not like the Yichud Room. The world is doimed to a place where you don't see the walls. And if you don't spin those walls strong, then it's very easy to find yourself on the outside. And in this particular case, the outside is a very dangerous and negative place. You know what I'm always thinking about when I read it, when I look at this Gemara, and in space, there's no atmosphere. And if something goes wrong with your suit, and you can't breathe anymore, then you die. And the minute a person goes out of that controlled environment of his spaceship, of his space station, and of his spacesuit, he's finished. That's Ha'olam Hazeh, Doim El Achsadra. It's a remarkable thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a world. But then, next time, Bezus Hashem, we're going to look and see what does it mean that there's a Pesach Kotten. V'pnei ma tola kari dehe. It's a remarkable thing. He has two openings. One on the bottom, which is wide, and one on the top left, which is very narrow. And the Gemara is asking, what about these two openings? And in this Gemara, there's an interesting question. There's a little opening on top, so that in case he falls out, finds himself on the other side of the Achsadra, and all of a sudden he's enmeshed in Chet, and the Yetzirah has him by a stranglehold, he should know he's always able to come back. And which way does he come back? Through that little opening on top. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a little opening on top? Let him come back the way he came out. Let him just turn around and go back into the Achsadra. So the Gemara says, Lo yistaya milsa. It's not so pushit. It doesn't work like that. So we will try to explain what that's all about, bli neder, bli shvua.